This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Brandon Tierney's Salicata back on the Fan down with the king topic of the day, or the crown topic of the day. It is Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. And interesting, BT, just to kind of move the conversation in a mildly different direction here, where Bogus had the conflicting reports. We mentioned earlier with Jordan Renan of ESPN saying a decision is expected potentially by today, and then also saying that somebody on the NFL Network saying it could be weeks here with Rodgers. If you're the Giants, now I think it would be a disaster if the Giants got Rodgers to begin with, but if you're the Giants, do you wait on Aaron Rodgers here? You're going to wait weeks for him to make his decision where maybe other guys come off the board?
Okay, so my first instinct is I'm not letting you put me through this charade again. Like, whether it's a darkness retreat or not, we need a decision. We got to get on with the business aspect of building the Giants. However, I think that's too emotional of a response. I think the smart way to look at it, and this is the way the Giants should look at it, hope they do, is if we give him a grace period to evaluate this, will we miss out on another option that, if he turns us down, will prevent us from moving forward slightly? And my answer to that is probably no. Now, it's a calculation. Let's say Rodgers wants 2 weeks. Does Russell Wilson sign with the Steelers in those 2 weeks? Probably not. I think the Steelers would probably wait for those 2 weeks because I think that they want Rodgers more than Russell Wilson. So I don't think that it would hurt the Giants. It wouldn't hurt them in the draft because the draft isn't in 2 weeks. Yeah, it's not ideal, but I don't think it should be a deal killer.
Also, the Steelers are in a power position because they figure, well, if they don't get Rodgers, they can wait for Rodgers, because if they don't get him, they'll just sign Russell Wilson, meaning that, okay, well, let's say the Steelers wait on Rodgers, Rodgers decides he wants to go to the Giants, well, then Russell Wilson's not going to the Giants, so he's available to go back to Pittsburgh.
Unless he says, you know what, I don't like the way you guys treated me last year, which I could see Justin Fields feeling that way more, but maybe, you know, maybe Tennessee doesn't draft the quarterback and there's some loose connections with Russell Wilson and the Titans.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe if Russell Wilson signs elsewhere sooner than Rodgers, now all of a sudden the Giants are really in a weird spot. I think they'd benefit anyway, kind of backdoor into a good thing without Aaron Rodgers. I still ultimately, gut feel, believe Rodgers is going to go to Pittsburgh. There are many reasons why we would believe that. The main one is that Pittsburgh is just better. They're better coached. They have better players. Better chance to win for Aaron Rodgers if money is not a factor. And it's reported that that doesn't seem to be the issue, at least from the Giants' perspective, from Jordan Renan of ESPN reporting that. Then what are we talking about? Why would Aaron Rodgers? I mean, you're talking about convenience, wanting to be in New York. I mean, come on, it's a professional athlete making millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. I wouldn't think moving is going to alter his decision. So me personally, I would think that it's Rodgers to the Steelers is inevitable.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the best thing for us from a story perspective, Rodgers to the Giants. Yeah. The best thing for Rodgers, Steelers.
Yeah, and now I wouldn't want Rodgers because I think the Giants need to, this year, establish their future franchise quarterback. They've put themselves in a bad predicament here where they're almost forced to find a franchise quarterback, and Rodgers is not the right guy. Not that he couldn't be a mentor, because I think he could, but his priority is going to be winning games and trying to maximize what he's got left of his brilliant, all-time elite Hall of Fame career. Whereas you bring in a veteran backup, and I don't even, or just a veteran quarterback. I don't know if Russell Wilson's that right guy either, but just pick a veteran quarterback who's going to want to play and the opportunity to maybe start some games, but also be a mentor as well. That's just part of their job. Think Drew Lock type, Tyrod Taylor type, whatever that we've seen before. To me, that type, I'd rather that than try to have a quarterback who's going to want to prove himself in his last years like Rodgers or maybe even Russell Wilson. And instead of being a transitional quarterback where this year said veteran starting quarterback hands it over to, let's say, Cam Ward, and now it's Cam Ward's team.
Well, I mean, any way you cut it, it's less than ideal. It's certainly not how you would draw things up from a building a roster construction 101 here. Let me ask you this. Let's just say that Rodgers doesn't like what he hears from the Steelers, or, and again, I'm with you. I don't think it's about money, but for whatever reason, it doesn't work out with the Steelers. And either Russell Wilson goes back there or they do something else. So the Steelers are out. And the Tennessee Titans are not inclined to go that route. They're going to draft whomever, maybe Cam Ward at one. So it's really only the Giants for Rodgers in this potential situation. Mm-hmm. You think there's a chance he just retires and says, I don't want to step into this situation?
No, I think he
plays no matter what.
Yeah, I think playing is his first priority. The fact that he's got some options is a good thing for him.
Yeah.
But I think winning is his second part. If he didn't have another chance, another option, then yeah, I think he'd be a Giant quarterback. I still think it'd be a mistake for the Giants and probably for Rodgers, but at least I would understand because he just wants to play.
Well, I agree with you because you asked me that question similar yesterday, and I said, listen, I think that Rodgers wants to prove to the rest of the football world that he can still play. And I don't think that he wants to do that and lose. I mean, ideally, he would do that and win at the same time simultaneously. But I think Rodgers is so motivated to have a good individual season, better than the numbers with the Jets, that, again, to say winning a secondary is odd for a quarterback who's desperately trying to get a second Super Bowl win, which is what really separates you at this point, fair or not fair. But I think he wants to just show people he can still play. I think that's the main motivation.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. John is calling from Norwalk, Connecticut. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Interesting conversation today about Rodgers. I will say, you know, I didn't like him with the Jets at all. I thought he big-timed him way too much. I didn't like his attitude. And I didn't like him, you know, when he went to that mandatory mini camp and he went to a cave instead for a week. That tells you all you got to know about this guy. He's not a leader. He can go to a steal. I think the Steelers obviously are perfect for him. I think they got a great defense. They got a running game.
Yeah.
They got some wide receivers now. It is, I mean, if he wants to have a legacy, you go to the Steelers. There is no reason to go to the Giants for him or the Giants. It makes no sense. They're not winning next year. And I don't want them to get Rodgers and then force feed a quarterback they don't like at the third pick to mentor him. If you don't like a guy, if you don't like Ward or whatever, if you don't like either one of them, why would you get Rodgers at all? I don't. Rodgers to the Giants makes no sense to me on any level.
You know, I got to tell you, John, and thanks for the call, buddy. You know, the more I think about this, I don't know how you can bungle a situation more than the Giants have. I mean, we could do shows chapter and verse, even the Knicks, who have done nothing this century, last couple of years aside. You know, and there's a lot of reasons for that, which we don't need to go into because we all know. But even like the low point of the Mets, whether it's the 70s, some years in the 90s, whatever, couple in the 2000s, Yankees, when they've been lean, like for the Giants to get to this point, there have been so many different dumb decisions. It's almost comical. It's like unbelievable that they're here.
Yeah, and it's been years of the dumb decisions. But even if
compounded by more and more and more.
But even if you eliminate, and we had these conversations earlier in the show, in case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Even if you eliminate the beginning of those dumb mistakes and just go to more recent stuff, and that's why I keep saying it, last year, because you could eliminate everything prior and go back to last year. Definitively, that was the year they should have known Daniel Jones ain't it, and we're going to need a quarterback here in a quarterback-rich draft where they had a top pick to be able to select a quarterback, maybe not Drake May or Jaden Daniels. Yeah, okay, well, I mean, that's the break. You didn't have those top picks. Those teams did. They got lucky. Well, anybody could turn. I mean, look, Dan Quinn could turn Jaden Daniels into a good quarterback. So what exactly is Brian Daboll's appeal then, right? Anybody could do that. The appeal of Brian Daboll was supposed to be to identify a quarterback and develop him into a franchise quarterback. And last year, everybody in the world should have known Daniel Jones wasn't it. Go take a quarterback, identify one, and make him your guy, just like Sean Payton did, just like Atlanta did with Penix, just like Minnesota's trying to do with J.J. McCarthy. Those are three teams, three quarterbacks that did it. The Giants thought the better option was Daniel Jones and Malik Nabers, and that was a mistake that I don't know how you recover from.
Is there anything more, I don't even know what the word is, I guess I'll go with depressing, than a football team without a quarterback? I mean, pertaining to sports, obviously. Depending upon the degree of how big of a basketball fan you are. But think about all the empty Knicks seasons. Like, all right, Knicks stink. You can kind of tune them out. You can't get away from the NFL, even if you want to. It's there on Thursday. It's there on Saturday during the holidays. It's there all day Sunday. It's there on Sunday night. It's there on Monday. Like, even if the Mets and the Yankees have, say, a bad pitching staff certain years, there's going to be a guy or two that you still want to watch and put up some prolific offensive numbers, or vice versa. No offense, but a couple of studs on the hill, go out there, throw a couple gems, something to gravitate to. When your team, and I don't mean for a year, anybody could sit through that, but basically greater part of a decade, and more for that for the Jets, when you don't have a quarterback that could, you know, put series together and first downs and score points, I think it's the most depressing aspect of being a sports fan.
Yeah, and we've had two of them here for how many years? Since Eli Manning left, it's the Jets and Giants. So I bet you Dable, the more I think about this, I think Dable is saying that the reason why his offense has looked as bad as it has for 3 years is because they haven't had a quarterback. And maybe this is him saying, just get me a real quarterback. Stafford 1, Rodgers 2, Russell Wilson 3. Like, those guys, they may not be what they once were, but they're functional quarterbacks who will make me look smarter and my system look smarter. Forget about the results as far as the win total goes or playoffs or whatever, but at least give Dable something to hang his hat on and say, see, this is what a real... Like, Rodgers could read a defense and throw the football. We know that.
Little reputational perseverance, or I should say preservation,
I
really.
Because so, I'm saying to your point, like, they haven't had a quarterback. Neither team has had a quarterback. It's been awful. And at least bringing in Rodgers, I still think it's a disaster and a bad move, but at least bringing him in, they do have an actual quarterback.
Well, I can promise you that if Rodgers was quarterback of the Giants last year, and the first thing that comes to my mind is that flea flicker in Germany when Daniel Jones didn't throw the football. All he had to do was throw the ball.
Here's the counter, though, to
Rodgers.
There
were plays to be had.
We saw Rodgers his last year in Green Bay. We saw Rodgers with the Jets, even if you eliminate the first year, the injury. And I know that there are, it's not excuses, but things that happen with the rehab with Rodgers, which he went into in that Netflix show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes some time to build it back up. We saw Rodgers last year fail with the Jets. Like, you could look at the stats. A lot of those were empty numbers. He didn't make anybody better on the team. It wasn't an elevator. I'm not saying he's not a leader, because I do think he can be.
Mm-hmm.
But Rodgers failed with the Jets at doing the exact thing the Giants are going to want him to do. What makes you think it's going to work this go-around? Is he going to be better than Jones was? Sure. Is he going to make the right reads? More often than not, yeah, sure. Is his arm the same as it was? No. The Giants will be better, you would think, because they're going to have better quarterback play, but he's not going to be the answer.
Now, this came up a little bit yesterday, and this is why it's very hard to come up with the absolute answer. So I think you've just got to be fair to everybody involved and incorporate as much as you can. And I always come back, you're not wrong. Those numbers were certainly hollow the first half of the season. But, you know, the Zuerlein misses absolutely sabotaged the season. I know that this is always going back to a year or so ago, but it's true. And if we want to say that Aaron Rodgers failed, which ultimately he did, and that's the bottom line, did not win enough games, Jets did not want him back, they did not value him enough, coaches got fired, GMs got fired, interims got fired, because if Rodgers was better, they would still be employed and so would Rodgers. But if the kicker was better, if there was not as many penalties, so the only thing that I could really volley back to you, because you're not wrong, he did fail, is if the coaching is better with the Giants, if the kicking is better with the Giants, maybe you get a couple of more wins and it's more appealing, and then you start the rebuild there.
And maybe,
that's the only thing I could say.
That's the argument for, of course. Mike is calling from Kings Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, Mike.
I'm listening to this, and I was kind of against Rodgers, but now I'm starting to, like, Sal, when you're saying, like, you would rather have Drew Locke and Tyra Taylor, like, in a mentorship role, I'm like, I don't know. Now I'm thinking, I'd rather have, if this is with the Giants
under the impression, we all agree that they're going to draft the quarterback in this draft still, right?
Well, we don't know. I mean, I don't know. I hope that's the case.
I mean, if they don't and they get Rodgers, that's nuts to me. But if they're going to draft the quarterback and Rodgers is a possibility, I want that guy in the quarterback room with Aaron Rodgers, not Tyrod Taylor or Drew Lock. That's where I'm starting to think now.
I understand.
But you have to draft the quarterback.
So we agree halfway, Mike, and thank you for the call. I agree that they need to draft a quarterback, which is unfortunate because you shouldn't put yourself in a spot where you have to take said position. And here's why it's not that I don't like Rodgers as the mentor. It's that Rodgers is going to get in the way of the quarterback that they draft getting on the field this year. You may not like it, but the reality of the NFL nowadays is to get the rookie on the field sooner than later. Doesn't mean he has to start week one, but sooner than later, you want to see what he could do, especially in year four of a new regime, and especially for a guy who is going to be either the number three pick or, let's say, they trade up for the number one pick.
But you got to forget about that it's year four. That's the thing. Okay. You've got to, like, it's year one, so it's still not ideal. Okay. It makes it a lot less desirable that it is year four, but it is year four. We can't change that. So let's pretend it's year one.
Okay, and I still would want to see the young quarterback that they took number three or number one.
So would I. I hear you, but it's more doable if it was year one. Not ideal, not something that I'm necessarily rushing to sign up for, but it's not untenable. Year four, it seems untenable. It's like, what are we doing?
I think it would be less likely if the Giants, let's say they take Cam Ward for, you know, argument's sake here. They take Cam Ward number one. The right path to me would be to get him on the field at some point. Again, doesn't have to be week one, doesn't have to be week eight, could be week 10. At some point, the keys are going to be turned over to the young quarterback. With Aaron Rodgers here, and with it being year four of Shane and Dable, I don't believe that would be the case unless disaster struck.
That's why I said Russell Wilson for that situation is better for the Giants.
And that's why I said it doesn't really matter. Like, give me Drew Luck or Tyrod Taylor. You know, I know they're not getting Tyrod Taylor. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't really matter to me. Get a quarterback because it's not about that quarterback. It's about the young quarterback in the hypothetical situation of Cam Ward. It's about Cam Ward. It doesn't matter who the veteran
is.
It does.
I definitely disagree with that. You got to have somebody in there who knows what he's doing. Like, and, you know, Tyrod's a, I mean, there's got to be a model of how to do it. And it's just a fine line, man. I mean, because if it's somebody like Rodgers, who's an icon, I mean, you pull him, how does it go with him? Who knows? Would Russell Wilson even be okay with it? But to me, the appeal and the you got to have somebody who has been a starter. For me, that just shows them, hey, listen, this is how we do it. When it's your time, I'll step aside. We got to go from there.
BT and Sal on the fan. We'll continue the conversation. We come back, 888-808-1019.
Just get out, man. I groove like that. I'm smooth like that. I jive like that. I roll like that.
Yeah, I'm thick like that. I stack like that. I'm down like that. I'm black like that.
Yo, I funk like that.
BT and Sal back on the fan on this Wednesday afternoon. I saw Vaccaro write something about this, BT, or something similar. It was last week, a couple weeks ago, I forget. But let me ask you, because we're talking about Joe Shane, obviously, in this regime and the Giants quarterback situation. If you had to rank your trust level in the, because really, as a fan, like, we have no choice. You have to trust them. We could say what we do, and we could say why we maybe don't trust them based on decisions since they've been here. But ultimately, it comes down to who Shane and Dable identify as their quarterback and what they're going to do with that third pick. And that's it. And they better get it right or wrong. So 4 and 3 years hasn't been very good. But if you had to rank Mets, Yanks, Jets, Giants, Knicks. Let's just stick with those five main. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yanks, 1 through 5, right? Yanks. Mets, Yanks, Jets, Giants, Knicks. Give me your, from 1 to 5, level of trust in the general managers or hierarchy of the organization.
Okay. I think I'm going to go in descending order. So right now, Giants would be last.
Right.
Giants, 5. Number 4 would be the Jets until proven otherwise. Number 3 would be the Mets. Number 2 would be the Yankees. And number 1.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Would be the Knicks.
Yeah, I'm not that different. I would go one Knicks, two Mets. How could you have the Yankees over Mets? I'm curious.
Well, I mean, they were in the World Series, and they're right. Usually consistently good, and we'll see what happens.
I'm not saying better. I'm talking
just
about
just
like,
a level of trust. I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
I trust their ability to put a competitive team on the field every year.
You trust Cashman more than you would David Stearns?
I trust the Yankees' ability to put a competitive team on the field every year. And until that's disproven, then I'm not going to adjust my list. Now, listen, I don't like the Mets' rotation. I don't love the Mets' the Yankees' lineup. So I think both teams have some holes, and I do trust Stearns.
Right.
He's not five. He's just behind the Yankees right now.
I trust Leon Rose. I mean, how can you not? Even though we may disagree with some of the moves, I like them more than you do.
Yeah.
But I think you have to have them number one in New York. I would go Stearns, too. Stearns and Cohen, too, just because I don't believe in the way the Yankees have built the team. Winning-wise, yes. I mean, if I'm ranking this as far as who do I trust to be a more successful franchise or who has been? It's the Yankees, no question about it. Mets have to get there. But I trust Stearns' decision-making much more than I do Brian Cashman's decision-making, and to boot Cohen. The combo of Cohen and Stearns to me is far better than Hal and Cashman. The only thing that they have to do, and it's the biggest thing, is prove sustained success.
We'll see.
But just decision-making, like the Yankees continue to make bad decision after bad decision with the roster, and it obviously predates Stearns. Like Stearns wasn't even here. He's still new at this as far as being in New York. But I just trust him a little bit more to be more disciplined and just make better decisions. But I would also have the Yankees 3 because the Jets are unknown, and I would have the Giants last because what we do know about them.
Yeah, like, Giants are the easiest one to me. Yeah. To me, number five and number one are the easiest ones. Giants, absolute worst. Knicks, number one right now.
Well, and you have to have the Jets probably behind the Mets. And just
yes,
the Jets is
for sure.
Kind of incomplete.
That's unfair to put the Jets anywhere but four, and it's not a knock on the Jets. It's a wait and see. If the Giants weren't so bad, I'd probably put the Jets five just because it's incomplete right now.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Which shows you, though, how bad the Giants are.
I think the only thing that you really can debate would be the Yankees and the Mets. I think on that list, that's the only thing that's truly do you have the Yankees two? Do you have the Yankees three? But I think one, Knicks, Jets four, Giants five, I think that that would probably win out for the most part.
At what point, not to make this about baseball because that wasn't the design of this, but at what point do you think you could start to change? I know at my point, which I would change the Mets and Yankees, is there a point where you could change it to say where the Mets leapfrog the Yankees?
Sure, of course, I could.
Give me what that would be.
Well, I want to see, you know, this is the second year where Stearns has taken a very unique approach with the starting rotation. Now, the first year it worked out well. It was a little unconventional. Not everybody loved it. It worked out. He shut a lot of us up. And that very well might work again. But if it doesn't, then that could torpedo what could be a championship team with better pitching. Now, if the decisions he made on the mound are of the sound variety and the Yankees have a season where they go 80-45 wins and the young kids don't develop and Max Fried is a B-minus rather than an A-minus, I mean, it can flip in a year. But right now, I'm just going to give the benefit of the doubt to the team that almost always wins, even though I don't lean on that. I don't lean on that. Some do. The Yankees are going to figure it out because of the Yankees. I don't buy that. To me, that's empty nonsense. I don't care. I go year to year. But yeah. I do believe there's got to be a little value in a threat of consistency. So I reward the Yankees with two. And it's not a penalization of the Mets because they're still three in a pretty decent spot.
Right.
But I realize that three can flip to a two. And by the way, if it works out, then the Yankees could go from 2-1. The Mets could go to 3-1. If the Knicks get bumped in the first round, the Knicks could go to 1-4.
If Bridges continues to suck.
There's a lot there. But right now, that's my list.
And for me, the only reason why I'd have the Mets higher than the Yankees is because I just philosophically believe in what David Stearns believes in more. Now, this is going to be a big, I don't want to say make or break year, but if he could do it again with the pitching, then it's, to me, like, definitive, okay, his way is the right way. It doesn't mean that they're going to win more than the Yankees. Doesn't mean they're going to win a World Series more than the Yankees. But I'm talking about investing wisely. Steve Cohen has shown the ability to go out there and spend. You got to spend it in the right spots. To me, there was no better spot than Juan Soto. I didn't love, like, Frankie Montas. I don't love a lot of, you know, Stearns thinking, especially going back to last year.
Yeah.
But it worked last year. I trust that it's going to work again this year to a certain extent. Holmes, you know, taking a chance
on
him.
He's looked good.
But just in theory, whether I like the individuals he brings in or not, Holmes looked nasty. The philosophy of not paying or investing in an aging pitcher, where the Yankees have now done it three times, Cole, Rodon, and Fried, three times in recent history.
And so far, they're 1-for-2. And if Fried is good, they'll be 2-for-3. If he's good, they're 2-for-3.
Cole was the right one. But also early on, like, these contracts generally don't age well anyway, but yeah. Just the pitching is so volatile.
It's changed, man.
Not to mention some of the other bad decisions. And Cashman's been here much longer, so it's much easier to criticize him. Also, he's won a lot more because he's been here longer, too. But I just philosophically believe the Mets have the right balance of spending big in the right areas.
Well, listen, where I think it gets really interesting, and I think it becomes more of an even assessment here, is let's get much deeper. And we can't do it because you're asking me today. And it's a fun thing to debate. But If Cashman's still doing this in 10 years, which I doubt, but hopefully, you know, for his sake, I hope he is, and Stearns is still doing this in 10 years, now Stearns will be here long enough where we will be able to diagnose, okay, we all know Soto's going to be great for a couple years, more than a couple, but the last 4, 5, 6 years on that deal, I don't know. And if David Stearns is dealing with, a thick, slow DH who's not Aaron Judge in terms of numbers or Otani in terms of numbers, well, now that's a problem that David Stearns is going to have to work around. And even though Stearns didn't give Lindor the contract, and Lindor is terrific right now, you know, let's see how those couple of years age where he's got a couple of years to go. But what I'm saying is Stearns doesn't have to deal with the remnants, the fallout of deals that eventually will go bad.
Right.
Now, when that happens, you get a more even analysis, but no, that's why I got the Yankees 2 and the Mets 3. It's close.
Fun conversation. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Another fun conversation that we had earlier, in case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Arthur in Yulon, New York wants to chime in about the Foxes that we were talking about. What's up, Arthur?
BT and Tal, what's going on, guys?
How are you, Artie? How you doing, pal?
Doing well. Thank you. Hey, a wild fox, that's a nocturnal animal. So if you see it during the day, they have rabies.
Okay.
And what does that mean? Just run the other way, which I would do anyway. See him at night, during the day, I want out anyway.
So, BT, when you were playing golf...
The three of them.
And they weren't curious about your game. They were curious about what you taste like.
Interesting. Well, I'll tell you, I had a club in each hand, and I would have cracked them so hard in the skull if they came at me.
Oh, dude.
That's what I was getting ready
to do.
Three
versus one? This is no man versus bear TV show.
It's Corey
BT
Grant
versus three live fox.
BT's probably going to lose that battle.
Because
they are nasty.
Foxes?
It's foxes. You pluralize that. Yeah, not like oxen. Okay. No, that's interesting. So... Nocturnal, so when they're up in the day, they're looking for a little blood, looking for a little flesh.
Well, that's why, like, at night driving home, I wasn't surprised to see a fox. During the day, 8 a.m. on a Saturday, seeing it run across the street?
Yeah, now I'm not going to challenge the... Now, I mean, I could just easily Google this, I'll take your word for it, that they are nocturnal, but I have seen foxes either, not necessarily in my yard, because we have a pretty stable fence, but... During the evening, maybe driving, and I just see their eyes.
Yeah.
So they're not sleeping at night.
Yeah.
But he said they're nocturnal. It was freaky, man. And it wasn't just freaky that, I mean, it was beautiful that I first, I'm like, oh, look how cute they are. But then they started following me, and they didn't blink. They just stared at me.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't like that.
I thought they were getting ready to pounce.
And by the way, you heard Phil Sims, and you've heard him with Boomer and Gio.
Well, he's got a massive yard, yeah. He's got a menagerie back there.
He's probably got snakes back there, I think.
He's
living in the
snakes.
Right?
Well, he's a little deeper out there. He's a little more mountainous than you are, buddy.
What'd you say there, Dove? I missed him.
According to Google, the expert, it's not abnormal for foxes to come out during the day.
Okay. Not abnormal.
So there we go. We got to check the fact check.
Conflicting reports from Arthur in Yulon, New York, and what Dove is saying according to Google. All right.
What would scare you the most? What kind of animal encounter would scare you the most?
I mean, probably a bear. No?
Doesn't have to be a shark, because underwater you're helpless.
Well, but I could prevent that.
How? We just swim? No, Phelps?
Don't go in the water. You're laughing.
All right. Well,
what if you bump that, man?
What if you bump into a bear on a golf course, which has happened,
by
the way?
I think a
so
bear,
you don't play golf? You just shark, don't anything. You don't do anything where you could possibly encounter something?
I think obviously a shark would be the most, to me, terrifying thing. You're in the water, you feel helpless to begin with, and the shark comes after your toast.
Yeah.
But I could prevent that. Like, that's why I'm deathly afraid of the bear situation. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be opening my back door and seeing a bear out there.
I hear you. They're in our neighborhood, buddy. Not too far.
That's what I'm saying.
It was one of my neighbor's yard.
That's what I'm saying.
Just
I don't
careful.
Want that.
That's why you don't leave the garbage out the night before.
And I don't worry about poor Maddox. What do you mean you don't leave the garbage out? You want it inside, then the house is going to smell?
No, in the garage. You don't have
I have the garbage pails right outside the garage. Closed. I never had the bags exposed ever.
Okay.
I just bring them out
in the morning. That's what I do.
But then you keep the garbage pails in the garage?
In the garage, yeah.
I know, but then I worry about the smell.
It doesn't smell.
The garbage doesn't smell in the garage, especially in the summer.
After 5 years, it
you
doesn't.
Know what I'm saying?
I mean, I don't think it does.
I'd rather leave it outside. Ryan here is in Rye, New York. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Listen, I am an avid hunter. I've trapped animals. I go out all the time into the woods. And the idea that foxes are nocturnal and if you see them during the day have rabies is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, we...
They come out at dusk, mainly to feed and go hunt.
Okay.
But to say that they are strictly nocturnal is ridiculous. And that if you see them during the day, they have rabies.
Okay. So Arthur may have been mistaken on that. We appreciate the insight, Ryan, and thank you for the call. See, Ryan seems like a guy that I'd want to call up if I had an issue in my backyard.
That guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The caller seemed a little overzealous just to get on WFAN and make something up and see if it sticks. He is 0-3.
No, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know if he was, maybe he believed that. Maybe he read that somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe he dreamt it one day and thought it was like a real thing. I don't know. That's happened before. I once thought for sure Warren Moon was an Atlanta Falcon. I swore. And then I was thinking to myself, I think that was a dream. It never happened. I had to look it up.
I think an alligator would be a tough way to go, too, because they drown you and
you
they
get
flip
away?
Get away.
It's hard.
They run 25 miles an hour. Alligators?
How fast do you think you could run?
Not 25. That's for damn sure. Saquon runs like 21, 22 top speed.
Really?
Tyreek Hill runs. Yeah. You're going to outrun an alligator? Absolutely.
Really?
Yes. And what they do is they grab you with those little tiny arms,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then they spin you under and they drown you.
They grab you with their arms and not their jaw?
Well, it depends. They could bite you if they're frightened. But if they want to, their main objective is to drown you. So they do that by just... And then
dude,
flipping
I don't like
you
any
over.
Of these
Tell
I don't
me, I watch these shows all the time. And the way they pounce, too, out of the mud and the... Oh, good God, man.
All right. Karen in Madison. What's up, Karen?
Hey, just do me a favor, guys. When you see a fox out during the day, it's more than likely that it's looking for food, that it has little babies somewhere.
Yeah.
They're not rabid. So don't be alarmed, really.
Hmm. So should I give it food?
I deal with this all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, they're looking for food. They have babies, and they have a den somewhere, and they're looking to feed their little ones, and they're out looking for food. So more than likely, they are not rabid.
Okay, I appreciate
it, Karen. If they were rabid, you would know it.
Yeah, like the movie Cujo. Well, there's usually, remember the movie Cujo? You got to remember that one, huh,
Cujo?
From the 80s? Cujo?
Killer dog.
Oh, you remember that?
Yeah, I've heard of it, yes.
Okay.
I've never seen it.
You can tell, not always, generally when an animal has rabies or is rabid, the bloodshot eyes, the saliva around the mouth, there's just the panting, the sweating, there's definitely some visible signs.
You know,
like when you get mad.
Yeah, exactly right. I start having it look like I have rabies. You know how I knew about Cujo? Girl that I used to date, when she was coming over to my house, my old dog McGriff, she would call him Cujo because he was not, he wasn't a friendly dog.
He didn't like her. He sensed her out.
Yeah.
He didn't like what he was, what she was about,
McGriff,
looking out for you.
McGriff was a very good judge of
good
character.
Good instincts, McGriff.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Game 5.
It's over.
The baseball card. Pull your card, World Series, BT and Sal. Game 5, in which I guaranteed victory earlier in the week. That will take place when we come back.
BT and Sal's Pull Your Card World Series. Game 5.
Here we go. All right. You chose the year, BT. This is your last game at home, trying to clinch it on your home field, make it a nice 4-1 victory. You chose the year, 1987.
All right. The last few times I've picked the one in your right hand, I'm going to go with that one again.
Right.
It's treated me well so far. After losing the first game, I came back with 3 wins, trying to close this thing out tidy fashion today.
I already see a card that you're definitely going to get it.
And I'm going to let you remain in the batter's box here, and I will have you go first. Let's just flush through this. Wow, the gum is stuck to the card there.
So how many cards you got to
make? Let me see. I'm just getting this thing open. Oh, they're all twisted around, too. It is a weird-looking set. All right. I see a couple that you're going to know, too. All right. You're going to know a lot of these. One, two. Can't do that. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
Okay. Do I have the same
thing? Wow, 16.
Yeah, there's a lot, right?
What do you got?
Yeah, I think the same thing, actually.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I have 16.
No, your counting screwed me up. I think I have 16 as well.
Okay, all right.
I'll just confirm that. Should I confirm that before we go, or you go? No, go ahead. Yeah.
Don't
say yes, just in case.
Okay.
So you don't count anymore. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Yes, 16. Okay.
Are you sure you're only up? Okay. Let me hold on. Let me count once more, Sal.
Here we go. Well, it's better than doing it after.
Coming up next, Evan and Tiki, as we count 37,000 times. Now, just to be clear.
Yeah.
If it's a manager, and I think you have 3 manager cards, by the way.
Are you sure, Charlie Huff?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Yeah. I'm not. But if it's a manager, which this one is, I say the name and you say the team, or...
It's the same.
I don't know why I'm forgetting this.
I don't know either. It's the same that applies for... No. You say the name of the player or manager, and I guess the name of the team. Yes.
Okay, you ready?
Same applies.
That's what I thought.
So I'm up first. Go ahead.
You are up first. Jimmy Williams, manager.
I'm pretty sure he's the former third base coach for the Atlanta Braves, and I am pretty sure he was with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Good call. 1-1. Good call.
Okay.
Von Hayes.
Philadelphia Phillies.
2-2. Wayne Tolleson.
I remember the card very well. 1987 Tops. New York Yankees.
3-3. Jose De Leon.
This is a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of teams are coming to mind here. Jose De Leon. I'm going to go Cardinals.
Okay, White Sox. 3-4.
Okay.
Eddie Romero.
Red Sox.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's a big one.
Okay.
Ooh, somebody came to play today,
folks. I told you that. Hey.
Somebody came to play today.
Okay. 4 out of 5 so
far. Wow. Yes, sir. Larry Sheets. Not Ben Sheets, the old pitcher.
Yeah, I know who he is. He's a catcher, right?
Let's see.
This is...
No, he's not a catcher.
Really?
Not for this card, no. Which means he's probably not a catcher.
There's like 3 different teams. I know I'm going to pick the one
in the middle.
One. Yeah. Larry Sheets. I'm all screwed up now. Phillies.
Orioles. All right, 4 for 6 here. How about Steve Crawford?
Red Sox.
Woo, boy.
I should have got Larry Sheets, Valley man. Boy. I hope that doesn't cost me.
Oh, boy. Stan Javier. Bounced around a little bit. Stan the man.
Stan Javier. I remember the player, outfielder.
Mm.
Why don't I remember this card off the top of my head?
Did play outfield.
I'm going to say Red Sox.
A's.
Oh, damn it. I knew that one. I was thinking the A's later. I should have just won with the... it's an idiot guess.
All right.
I don't know what the hell... What was I thinking?
Davey Lopes. 5 for 8 right now, Sal, just so you know.
Davey Lopes.
Mm-hmm.
Astros?
Yes.
Okay.
6 for 9. Bob Nepper.
Also Astros.
7 for 10. Well done. Steve Sachs.
Dodgers.
8 for 11. Jose Oquindo.
Cardinals.
9 for 12. Little heater here. You might not get any wrong the rest of the way here. I'm gonna have to I'm gonna have to have an epic pack, I think, to win. Jeff Reardon.
Oh man. Jeff Reardon in 87 tops. Is it a card of just his face?
I can't tell you that.
Reardon. Twins?
Expos. All right, 9 for 13. Zane Smith.
There's only one question in my mind. Was he with the Pirates or still with Atlanta? I am going to say on this particular card, my recollection is Zane Smith with the Atlanta Braves.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it. 10 for 14. Two manager cards here. Mm. Whitey Herzog.
Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. You'll like this. Davey Johnson.
Of course, the New York Mets.
The last time they won a World Series.
Yeah,
that, forgot. Yeah. 12 for 16.
All right,
nicely
done. It's a good score.
It is a good score.
But against you here, who's been hot.
I didn't think you were going to get Jimmy Williams, Toronto manager.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. That set the tone there. Von Hayes was easy. Eddie Romero was a good pull.
Yeah, that
I
was
didn't
a
know
tough
you'd
one.
Get Steve Crawford was a good pull.
Yeah, those two made up for the but Stan Javier and Sheets I should have got.
I got you. But honestly, nicely
right,
done.
Here
good
we
job.
Go. Ready?
Yes.
This is for the win.
I got you.
To clinch the World Series.
Understood. No
what
mistakes.
Was I again? Let me write that
you
down.
You were 12 for 16, Sal.
Okay, 12 of 16.
Yes, sir.
Johnny Ray.
Pirates.
That's one. Tommy John.
87. Yankees.
87 tops. 2. Jim Traber.
Expos?
Orioles.
Got that wrong.
Chris Chambliss.
In 87. Where the hell did Chambliss go? I don't think he was with the Braves at this point, but I don't remember him. If he's not on the Braves, it's got to be the last. I'm going to say Braves.
It is the Braves.
Here we go. Hold on. 3 for 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ed Vandenberg. V-A-N-D-E.
Seattle?
Space Berg.
Seattle.
Dodgers.
Damn it! Can you look at that real fast?
Did you know
was
that?
He on Seattle? I got his autograph at Yankee Stadium at one point.
Yes.
Was he with Seattle like 85, 80?
Yep, 82, 83.
Damn it.
Yeah.
3 for 5.
I knew who he was, but just not that year.
Oh, as a pitcher, righty, go.
Ed Wojna. He's a lefty, Vandenberg.
Dude. Ace.
Padres.
Okay.
3 for 6 so far?
Yeah.
Okay.
Couple tough names so far.
Steve Buschel.
Rangers?
Yes. You're familiar with the name, right?
Yes.
Just trying to put together. George Hendrick.
Cardinals.
Angels.
He left at that point.
Four for eight. Okay, 4-for-8.
Yeah.
Chico Walker.
Oh, God. I think I know this name, but I'm going to say the Pirates. No. Nope.
Cubs.
Cubs, wrong.
4-for-9.
Yep. All right, you won this one. Keep going.
Is that it?
I think that's it.
Rick Aguilera.
Aggie was, let's see, at this point, he came up in 80, bullpen, McDowell, Roscoe, Aguilera was also a starter. Was he still on the Mets or the Twins? I know he was, I'm going to say he was on the Twins at this point.
Mets.
He was still on the Mets. All right. Rough pack.
Luis Quiñones. Quiñones.
White Sox or Pirates? Pirates. No.
Giants.
Yikes.
Mike Eastler.
Red Sox?
Yankees.
Ooh, an 87. Yeah. Lefty hitter, outfielder.
He just left the Red
the
Sox
Pirates
the
too.
In 85, I think.
Man, you tell.
Jim Leland, manager card.
Pirates.
Okay.
5-for-13.
Dennis Leonard.
Kansas City.
Yo, good call. I never heard of him.
Yeah, thanks.
Bob Walk
was either a Philly or a Pirate. I'm going to say at this point he was still on the Pirates.
Yes. I don't remember if it was Philly.
Yeah.
Marvell Wynn.
Outfielder, Marvell Wynn. Oh, God. Pirates, Expos. Let's say Pirates.
No. So one, two, Padres. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 7 of 16.
All right, we got another game here.
All right, that was the only one I guaranteed. I guaranteed we'd get back to game 6.
Yes, you did. You did.
And now here's the tricky thing. Game 6, we start to go. There's only 2 years left.
Now we're getting out of territory that I was kind of checking out on. No, you have this advantage.
88, 89.
You have this advantage.
As we
there
get
are more
older,
years that you were more in tune with than I am based on what we did.
I think there's a nice happy medium with 80. You're definitely better at 84 without question.
Yeah.
I think you're better at 85.
I agree.
But I think it's closer. I think 86 is where I start to get better. I think we're equal 86, and I think 87, same thing. We're similar.
No, I think you're better in 87. I think if we did 87 a bunch, I think you'd win more than not. And so I think if we did 86 more, I'd win. 84-85 would be fairly easy just because of the age. See, what hurts me, though, is by you getting the 89, if I had the 83, that would be the equivalent. I think you get the one extra year here.
If 83 wasn't so damn expensive, maybe we can work that into the conversation.
Good battle.
All right.
None of these World Series will be quick with us.
So three games to two, heading back to my home for game 6, which should be Friday. All right. We'll get back to the calls coming up, and we got to get into the Johnnies a little bit. Two things that I want to get to, BT, in the final hour. We'll continue the conversation, of course, Giants quarterback situation, Aaron Rodgers. Keep you updated on in case anything happens here. But Vladimir Guerrero Jr., the latest with those contract talks and the numbers that were thrown out there and what it means for the Mets or his free agency in general and the Johnnies. We'll do so when we come back. 888-808-101.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almased, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almased has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almased with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.